Welcome to Her Take, a podcast by three friends sharing their take on just about anything. I'm Jackie.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Kira.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get into it.
Hey everyone, Jackie here. Welcome back to another episode of Her Take, episode 83. Can you believe it? As always, I am joined by Kira and Jen this week, and you know, we got just a laid back episode. The energy is a little low this weekend. Everyone's tired. The weather's nice. We're spending time outside. We're getting a little sunburned. I'm a little sunburned. So we're just going to have a nice check-in and chat and to see how everyone's doing. So to kick things off, I think I'll turn it over to Kira to let us know what's going on.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, I'm good. I'm a little tired, still like waking up right now. But I had a nice week, to go off of last week's episode, Jackie being the hostess with the mostest. I went to Jackie's house for dinner and then walked into her backyard, and she had a table with a tablecloth and candles and cutlery. And I was just like, this is very, you know, Italian chateau vibes.
It's going for a Real Housewives vibe as well. You know how they just like hang out in each other's backyards and drink wine? I was like,
rosé. It was very, very housewives.
We had summer in a bottle. It was delicious.
I had never had it before. She was like, yeah. I don't know wines necessarily by name, you know? And she's like, have you had summer in a bottle? I'm like, what?
That's some good stuff.
Summer in a bottle is that bitch. It it is so good. It is so good.
I'm not usually a rosé person.
Me either. I don't like rosé. Rosé is like too sour, too tangy at times for me, for my taste.
But it's the perfect summer drink.
Bottle is fantastic. It is really good. Actual summer in a bottle.
It wasn't too like strong alcohol-wise. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't really feel it. Yeah. Yeah, just wanted to follow up on that because last week we had talked about Jackie being a host, and I was highly impressed by the hosting skills.
Unsurprised.
I take great pride.
Unsurprised. And then, yeah, this week was good. Just school is picking up, and I was kind of like slowly ramping up myself, so I need to do some catching up. I went to the zoo, which is cute.
Oh, fun.
When was the last time you've been to the zoo, right? It's been so long.
I took my nieces a couple years ago. Yeah. But it's been a while.
I went with work when I was interning.
Oh,
wow.
We did
like fun.
Every summer, well, obviously not this past summer, but every summer we do like a fun work thing. So one day we went to the zoo. And
field trip.
You know, the zoo is interesting. I don't want to, you know, go completely off tangent, but I feel like the zoo is this weird thing where you feel like you're not really okay with animals in captivity, especially when polar bears are in the Bronx of New York in the summer.
I was going to say the same exact thing.
Yes. But zoos are really great because they do a lot of like studying for animals and, you know, they're really contributing to like conservation of wildlife and habitats and all that. So it's like this weird thing where I don't love zoos, but I also love zoos and I also love seeing animals. So
I felt the same way. I'm like, there are some animals that I think are fine. Like, they're good. But then we were looking at the giraffes, and I was like, they're so amazing, giraffes. But, like, they're currently living in the Bronx. And I'm like,
right.
Giraffes don't belong in the Bronx. And, like, are they okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about the zoo. I was going to ask other people, like, if anybody has info on, like, how we should feel about the zoo. I am curious.
Yeah.
Because I think in some situations it could be good, you know, protect animals. I think people that work at zoos genuinely care about the animals. But in some situations, like Jen said, polar bears in the Bronx, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah.
I think Lions, it's okay to have conflicting feelings. And
yeah.
What we learned when going to the zoo was, you know, a lot of the money that they raise is not only used to like maintain the actual zoo and take care of the animals, but it does go to like funding research and like wildlife conservation. So they do good things as well. It is still, like you said, conflicting feelings. One thing that they mentioned, which, you know, does this really make me feel that much better, is most of the animals were born in captivity, so they don't really know better anyway. But it's still not great. I don't know.
Complicated. And of course, Georgia is like 5 months old and didn't care at all. So it was really, I guess it was for me, it turns out. And then yesterday, my parents' boat went on its first sail. So that was nice. It was a nice day. Felt like little vacation-y vibes to
I love that.
Be out on the boat for a bit. So yeah, my little bougie family out, yacht club people now.
We love it. Wow, you had such a bougie little weekend.
Very bougie.
So and I love it. Yeah. I'm here for it. I'm here for the bougie.
Well, now that it's nearby, once it's finished being cleaned and stuff, people can come yacht for the day.
I'm there. I love it.
Inviting myself.
For sure.
I'll christen it myself when I get there. I'll pour some Prosecco all over it.
A little summer in a bottle.
Yeah. Should we pour summer in a bottle on it? That's such a waste of summer in the bottle because it's not that cheap, but also neither is champagne. So.
That would be good.
We can pour a little glass.
Just do a little drop, like a little splash, and then drink the rest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you know how when a baby gets christened and they kind of do like just a little
dip
water.
A little water.
We'll just like gently caress the boat with a little rosé.
Oh, bless it, you know.
Yeah. Bless it.
You know how they do that thing
also,
with the holy water?
Have the little shaker. Or the thing? It's like a
little baby rattle.
What is that called?
Yeah.
I'm not Catholic, so I don't have to know what this is called. What is it called?
I think the Greeks do that. I don't know.
But no, I've definitely seen a priest shake around holy water.
Maybe.
Yeah. I've never been to a Greek Orthodox church, so.
During the pandemic, I don't know why this came to me, but you know how they were shooting water guns at babies during the baptisms?
You should do that.
I had no idea they did that.
I've definitely seen a video of that. I don't know if it's real, but
someone was like, this was the best stage of the pandemic.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
The priest shooting a water gun at a baby.
It'd be more efficient if they took a spray bottle and just spritzed the baby.
Yeah, because a water gun is a little aggressive.
Yeah, or they have even those, you can refill it, right? But they're water spray bottles, but it aerolizes, or what is it called? It makes the water come out as a mist instead of just a regular spray. Yeah. So we can miss the boat or something. That would be nice.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Knock yourself out.
I can't wait. Wow. Cute. Eventful. Love it.
So apparently I'm so housewives. Me at Jackie's so chateau.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, my chateau, my jardin. Come to my jardin.
Yeah, Jackie's jardin.
My palais. This is my chalet.
My chalet. And the boat. Very bougie.
Yeah.
We love it.
Westchester,
we're here for it.
Man.
I love it.
Real housewife of Westchester. No one's wife. Yeah. Just a student living at home.
Well, Jen, I don't know if you can compete, because that was pretty bougie. That was.
I think Jen's
AF
about to beat me.
Weekend. I think Jen might beat you.
Okay, well, my week hasn't been bougie, but I've had a very eventful week. I almost need to, like, timeline this out, but, yeah.
So go for it. We have time.
Last weekend was great. We saw our friend, mutual friend Becca. She came into the city to visit me and, like, our other two friends who live here. So we had a lovely day. We, like, went to brunch. And it was kind of rainy, but it was still really nice. So that was great. And then later that evening, I went to my first house party since COVID. Yeah. I am vaccinated, so I don't give two shits anymore. I am hanging out with people. I am indoors. Like, it is what it is. But before that, we actually went bowling in the city.
Wow, TBT.
Yes. It
was
really
fun.
You touched bowling balls?
Wow. Yeah, they felt kind of gross. Like, I was, like, sanitizing, whatever.
They're
also because we were eating
gross
food.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was $82, which sounds like a lot, but it included reserving the bowling alley, food, and an open bar for 2.5 hours. And they served us. So it was
well
worth it, especially because
bowling is always expensive because you have to get the shoes and stuff.
Yeah, so it included all those things. Like I had dinner there, like I had my pizza, and then like I had at least five drinks. So that adds up.
Actually, I
take
my
steal. Actually, the more you add,
it is a steal. Like when Yeah. At first I was like, ooh, $82, but you know what? That's a night out.
Where'd you go? Like Chelsea Bowling?
We went to Chelsea Piers.
Oh. Okay. I'm into that. I want to do that at some point.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. We could definitely do that.
I don't know how I feel about like sticking my fingers inside of a bowling ball yet. Maybe we'll... You know how they have those...
gloves?
I feel... Yeah, but just the ones that just go on like your fingertips. I've seen people do that.
That'd be hysterical.
Yeah, I was just like sanitizing afterwards. Mainly yeah, because I was like eating like finger food and I was like, this is just gross.
I have a feeling too that they're probably trying to clean as much as they can because I think everyone is still so COVID paranoid and like a place like Chelsea Piers, it's a very reputable establishment or place is going to... do as much as they can.
As long as you wash your hands before you, like, touch your face and stuff, I think it's fine. Yeah.
And it's like, our boy Chauncey was there. He was serving us drinks. We were having a good time. And we went to someone's apartment after. His name is Chauncey. We, like, decided to, like, keep the party going. Like, went to an apartment after, played beer pong, like, dance. Like, it was
happy
nice.
Happy college.
So, yeah. And I guess somewhat eventful was I kissed a boy at this house party. So that was nice. Wow. I've made out with him before, so it wasn't like a new man.
Rekindled.
Like I made out with him the weekend before everything shut down. So yeah, and I've seen him since.
So,
he's like
your
come to
pre and post pandemic boy.
Yeah. No, he's very sweet. He like walked me home and everything, but probably nothing's gonna come of it. It is what it is. We're fun. We're single.
Don't let your grandma know what happened.
Ah, whatever.
She's gonna get excited.
She's been asking me every time I see her if I have a boy. I'm like, I will let you know, grandma, but I am perfectly fine right now doing this kind of stuff. So yeah, that was last weekend. And then, I'm sorry. I also went home for Mother's Day and surprised my mom and grandma. But I ended up, like, this is, like, where things get sad, was my cousin's grandma passed away. She was 93 years old, lovely woman, and lived a very full life, but she passed away. So I ended up staying home Sunday through Tuesday to, like, go to the wake and the funeral and everything. And I like going home, but when I go home, like, everything gets thrown off. And so I felt, like, so thrown off and, like, weird the whole rest of the week. So... it is what it is, but yeah, I've had a otherwise eventful week because yesterday I like went to the park. It was so nice out, got bagels. My roommate and her friends like went to Bottomless Brunch and they like came back here after, and then we were all drinking and like dancing in my apartment, and then like we went out afterwards. So, you know, New York is alive, people. And like, if you're vaccinated, rules are off, no masks, like...
I know.
It's crazy.
The CDC guidelines have me shook. They make sense, but old habits die hard for me, and so...
I saw a very funny TikTok this morning that was, like, when CDC says you can't wear a mask, and it's, like, this guy takes off the mask, and he's, like, but you don't want to be, like, taken as an anti-vaxxer, but you believe in Dr. Fauci, and it's, like, this guy, like, taking his mask on and off, and I was, like, that's literally how I feel, but I've been trying to get more comfortable, being outside. Like, if I'm outside and like, there's not that many people around, like, I could pull my mask down. So I've been doing a little bit of that. And I guess a boy update from me, aside from the makeout.
Another one.
This is another one. So
Much activity.
Yes, much activity. So I was back on Hinge. I have been talking to this guy for like 3 or 4 weeks. And, like, we were talking on the app for a while. Then he, like, asked for my number. So we're, like, texting. And it was nice. Like, he was, like, very sarcastic. I was sarcastic. We would, like, roast each other, which I like.
Good banter.
It was good banter. And, like, that's kind of what I was missing from the last guy I was seeing. So was pretty interested in him. He's also very cute and, like, 6'3".
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yes.
Who cares if he's sarcastic and funny? Six three.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm into it.
But like, you know, there were things that so annoying. Like he had his location set to around where I live, but he lives in Queens with his parents. And I was like, okay. And then was making jokes about like inviting himself over. And I was like, I'm not going to invite you over. We've never met. And I was like, heard people go out on dates. Like, supposedly that's a thing. And he was like, oh, I don't want to, like, rush into things. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. I'm done with him.
Exactly.
Then don't invite yourself over.
Yeah. Why would he invite himself over to your house and be like, I don't want to rush
But it was all, like, jokey. And I was like, okay. So I kind of was getting those vibes from him. And then, like, it came up, like, as part of our conversation. I don't know. Like, I kind of am under the impression that, like, you just want something really casual. And that's completely fine. But, like, I don't want something that's, like, that casual. Like, I kind of just, like, want to date people, like, see where it goes. And then he got all defensive and was, like, don't want something casual. Like, I'm not looking to just hook up. And he, like, mentioned something like, yeah, if you're, like, okay with just, like, phone calls and FaceTimes, like, for now. And I was, like, okay, that's fine. But even that wasn't happening. And so I got to this point this week where I was, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this clearly isn't going anywhere. So I just ended up, like, texting him. And I was, like, I'm just not clear about if this is progressing any further. But I don't want to assume anything. Just want to touch base with you. Because if it's not, then I don't really understand why I would continue talking to you. And he got all like, I don't know what I want. I don't know if I'm like ready for a relationship. Like yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, I'm not asking. If we're talking for like 3 or 4 weeks, are we ever going to meet up? Like what? Like what's the point
or
here?
FaceTime or something. Yeah. Like,
that's do just, something yeah. like beyond text yeah. and like Snapchat.
Yeah.
What are we in college? So, and I said to him, I'm like, I'm not like asking for much. I'm just like, you know, this hasn't gone anywhere in like 3 weeks. We've been talking for a while. There's really no point in us continuing to talk. You know, I just want to get to know you better. And like, if you're interested in me, I would assume that you would want to get to know me better too. And like that like entails like yada, yada, yada. And yeah, so he was like giving me all these excuses. And I was like, I get that. But also the bar can't be on the floor. And right now the bar's on the floor. And if you're interested in me, then like the Snapchatting, the just texting, like isn't going to cut it. I said that to him. And he basically was like, well, I don't know if I can give you this right now. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know what that means. I don't know what you mean by ready. Like, I'm literally just like, let's just hang out and like see where it goes. Like, it's kind of the point of being on a dating app and like dating and being single. So I basically was like, it just seems like we're not seeing eye to eye on this. And, you know, no hard feelings. Seems like you're not really in a place right now to be seeing anybody. And that's fine. Moving on. So it's like disappointing. I said to him, he was like, you know, I'm so sorry if you're like upset. I'm like, I'm not upset. I'm just like disappointed in you, which like sounds like a parent thing. But I'm like, I literally feel like you got in your own way and you're saying you're not ready and like you don't want to focus on relationships, yada, yada, yada. But it's like having these conversations, trying to clear up confusion, like that to me is like more emotionally draining than like had we just like hung out in person and like gotten drinks or something. But anyway, ladies, a reminder, the bar is not on the floor. If a man likes you, he'll put in the effort, and not that he needs to be cooking you dinner and like buying you flowers, but like I think it's just a normal progression of dating. Like if you're talking to someone for a while, going on a date and like seeing if you like them or like FaceTiming or something.
Yeah.
If it's been 4 weeks, like what are we doing here? You know?
Yeah. A little odd. Sounds like he just odd that he got defensive. It would have been fine if he were like, I'm just not ready for a relationship. Gonna go.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, okay, that's fine.
But, yeah.
But because he like kept dragging it out, it was a little odd.
But it's so good that you cleared that up before you met him in person, because then it would have just gotten messier and more complicated. Yeah. And now you've actually met the person in real life and it's
It's just weird because I feel like, not that we like went through a lot, but I feel like there was a lot that happened. I'm like, I haven't even met you yet.
Yeah.
Having like all these like kind of like difficult conversations.
Exactly, yeah.
I think he needs to figure out for himself what he wants. And I'm just like, if you're literally not even willing to like meet up with someone or put in any effort, then you just shouldn't be on a dating app, to be honest. And I'm not like necessarily on a dating app to like find a relationship, but I'm just like single and like trying to like, you know, get to know people and like see. Yeah. And like, that's what dating is. It's like you go on dates, you try to figure out if you like them. And if you do, cool. Like if you don't, like, okay, you move on. And it's just, you know, like I wasn't asking for a relationship. I feel like he was a bit immature and I feel like he has some past experiences that haven't worked out that are now causing him to self-sabotage. But
yeah,
I don't deserve that. And I'm not going to wait around for him to figure it out.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So good, that was my week.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. So So yeah, back to square one, but I'm also talking to another guy that I met on Hinge.
Wow, busy times.
I know, and he's a paleontologist, so.
Oh my God. That's so funny. Yeah, very Ross Geller.
Very Ross Geller. We've been calling him Ross, even though that's not his name, but.
Oh, so is that what Ross Geller
does? That's
what Ross
is.
Yeah. I don't watch Friends.
Yeah, definitely less invested in this guy, so.
Yeah. Now that I'm fully vaccinated, I'm tempting the idea of redownloading Hinge, but it's just so annoying.
It's a lot of effort. It's like emotionally
draining. Online dating is so annoying, but there's no way to meet people right now.
I know. It's tough. I'm just like perusing, if you will.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not taking it too seriously. I was going through a period of time where I was on Hinge and was like talking to guys for a bit, and then they would like ask me if I wanted to go on a date, and then I would ghost them. So that was bad.
So I ghost people for sure.
Yeah. I think it's okay as long as it's within the app.
Mm.
You know, that's kind of my rule.
As long as you haven't moved to like texting.
Yeah.
Then you have to give them more of a reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah. So I just like kept getting to that point where I was like, I don't actually like want to meet up with you.
Yeah.
Sounds like effort, but.
I feel that. Are you worth the risk of COVID, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Or just like worth like me carving time out of making my busy schedule.
Yeah.
Usually the answer is no. Whatever. We'll see. I'm very, I feel like the whole dating thing is very out of my comfort zone, like the dating apps. So it's been a bit of a struggle. Like this is really bar on the floor guy is really like the second guy like from Hinge that I don't even know what to call it because I never even met him. But like guy that I guess I was like emotionally
talking
invested
to.
In. Mm. Yeah. So it's not easy for me.
I was just going to say something I was thinking about. This is like pretty unrelated. But a YouTuber I watch broke up with her boyfriend and like just announced it on her YouTube this week. And I was so upset about it. And I was thinking about how it's like so not okay that I get so emotionally invested in
other people's relationships. I feel
that I'm like more heartbroken for them than I would be for myself. I feel like.
No, that's not
I was
true,
like, you guys were so, your lives were so intertwined. Like, what are you guys going to do now? What about your
families?
There are no kids. They're
no,
like around our age, but
yeah,
I was just very upset about it this week.
Listen, I mean, I feel that way towards celebrities. It's like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that people don't see.
Right, right.
A little.
And vlogging is a little different because you genuinely do get an insight into their lives in a very small sense. So you do feel like, these are my friends. Anyway, that was a tangent. Just you saying you emotionally invested in boys on Hinge.
Yeah.
Being heartbroken over relationships you're not really in.
Yeah. You know what? It is what it is. When you don't got anyone else, you got to emotionally invest in someone else's relationship.
Right.
Love it. Well, anyway, that's pretty much it for me. I may or may not have more boy updates in the future. I'm like, do I start a blog of like men I've been dating? New York City men.
Sex in the City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's kind of the life that I'm living, minus the sex part, but.
And all the shoes. I feel like you don't have a shoe obsession.
No.
An unhealthy habit.
Thankfully
no
not.
Sex in the City.
Yeah. Me and our other two friends who live in the city have been joking that we are sad in the city because we're all like depressed. So sad in the city.
That's a really good one.
Yes. Yes. That's us. Anyways. That's it for me. That's
for
it.
Sharing.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
But
thanks for sharing, Jen. Yeah. Well, that's all very exciting. I did not have an eventful week with men because I don't speak to boys.
Ew.
Yeah.
Boys are gross.
Yeah. Boys are gross.
They're not worth it.
Yeah. I finally had the half marathon yesterday. I feel like I've been talking about it for months. All I can say is that I am chafed, blistered, swollen, sore. I've chafed in places that I didn't think that I could be chafing.
Mm,
it was
lovely.
Nasty. It was really hard. I'm really glad I did it. It was nice to see people, or just because obviously I got there about an hour and a half before it started, or an hour, and I was just sort of just chit-chatting with a few people. It was nice to see people outside and to be social, even if it's with people that you don't know, but that's nice. It's nice being social with strangers, and it was really good. It was awful. It was very challenging. It was very difficult. It was in the low 70s yesterday, so it was really great weather, but at one point we were running on... It's not quite a highway, but it kind of is. They block off a couple of lanes on the highway on either side because we do a loop around there. And the pavement got so hot, and you have the heat from the sun. So you just have the heat coming from all angles. And there's obviously no trees because it's the highway. That was really difficult. You could tell that everyone slowed down so much. It was like a 3-mile stretch on that part. So I did find it to be quite difficult. My feet also were really, my feet really hurt. I feel like I haven't experienced, do you know what I mean? You know how you just get tired? You're tired, but then my feet really hurt. So I was just having a hard time with that. But I finished, and it was definitely challenging, but I'm glad I did it. After is always the best part because you're kind of in pain, but you get to just stop, and that is the best feeling. Something that I experienced yesterday that I never had before was I was having lunch after, and I was having salad and it had some grilled chicken in it. And when I went to take my first bite of my salad, it was so painful to chew and to swallow because I Googled this, and apparently it's a thing. If you do a long endurance run, if you're breathing in so much air, especially if the air is dry, the roof of your mouth becomes swollen and becomes very sore. I didn't know that had never happened to me before on other half marathons that I've done, but I've always done it in colder weather, which tends to be less, like sometimes if there's more moisture in the air. So that was a really, I was so hungry, but it was so painful to eat. So that was a new thing. So I'm feeling okay today. I'm just very tired, but I did it and I'm happy it's over. And I don't know, I forgot how bad it was because it had been a while since I had done that course. But it was great. The person who won finished in an hour and 13 minutes or something like that. I can't even imagine running 13 miles in an hour. That's crazy.
That's like pretty elite because people who win marathons do marathons in like 2 hours.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was wild.
My mind. It takes me 2 hours to run half a marathon and then somebody does it in double the time.
I can't even do a two-hour distance in double That's the time. That's a lot. That's very fast. I'm not that fast. And you know what it is too? That course is extremely hilly. It has a lot of hills. A lot of hills because we ran this time. We actually ran in the Rockefeller Preserve because it was there was no rain or anything, so it wasn't muddy. And we were able to run it because it's all just crushed gravel and dirt in that area. Some of it's just dirt. And we ran about 5.5 miles in the Rockefeller Preserve, and the views of the Hudson River were so nice. So it was a really beautiful course.
Yeah.
But running there is extremely hilly. And then that whole area, Sleepy Hollow, all of the river towns are really hilly. So I think that's why I also took longer. Because I can do a half marathon in 2.5 hours, but that took me a bit longer. So the hills just really killed me.
Yeah. At least it was a nice
And they meal. Only had, yeah. And they only had maybe 4 water stations in the whole thing because of COVID. Whoa. They had to limit it. So I was chugging water. I was taking 2 cups every time I got to a water station. I think that's also why my mouth got so sore after, because I couldn't hydrate as much. Because I forgot that there were no water stations at every mile, but they had been in the past. But because of COVID, I don't know why, they had to like cut it down.
Yeah, because as if a mile isn't enough distance between.
Yeah, and so there were no water stations at every mile marker, so I had to wait. The first water station was at the 5.5 mile mark.
It's actually probably better with COVID to have more water stations because then you get less like crowding around one.
Yeah.
Because like maybe you got it at one and you don't need it at the next one.
Yeah.
You know?
So I was taking multiple cups at each water station. But yeah, I'm glad I did it. I think I'll do it. I'll do it again. I'm going to do it again next year. So.
Nice.
You know, I'll have plenty to complain about again soon. Yeah.
Give yourself a break, though. A year?
Yeah. my toes hurt because, you know, like your toes just press into your shoes for so long. So my toesy-wozies are painful now. I think I can put clothes shoes on.
You deserve to be horizontal today, Jackie.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Proud of you.
Good job, Jackie.
Yeah, very proud of you. I'm glad I did it. Yeah, so it was definitely a challenge, but I'm glad I did it.
I saw a funny meme about marathons where, you know, the whole marathon story is this guy ran 26.2 miles and then died. And they were like, isn't it crazy that to commemorate that, people do that for fun?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you did a half marathon, which is still a lot, but it's like, let's just run 26.2 miles for shits. See, to commemorate this guy who died doing it.
Right? That's crazy to me. I saw this lady that had an Iron Man headband on too. So I guess she had done an Iron Man. And I just can't even fathom doing an Iron Man. That is so wild.
I used to want to do one. I like almost signed up for one. And now I'm just like, age, I'm just like.
You almost signed up for an Iron Man?
Yeah.
When?
Or the Spartan Race. I forget which one it was.
I don't know.
Must have been Spartan Race.
Oh, okay. Because Kieran, Iron Man's a marathon. A 100-mile bike ride.
But there are different levels of it.
You can do a half Ironman or something like that.
Yeah, there are different levels. It must have been Spartan Race, maybe, not Ironman.
Yeah.
Whichever one you like, you have to like climb over some walls and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the Spartan Race.
Okay, so maybe it was Spartan Race.
The Ironman is just like a triathlon.
Ah, okay.
There's no obstacles.
But in the Spartan Race, they like electrocute you at one point, and I was like, I'm not gonna do that. Like, I don't.
That is not safe.
That just seems like torture.
Yeah.
That doesn't see. I can't.
But sometimes the half marathon, I'm like, this is torture.
It also is torture. My cousin was telling me about a Spartan Race that her boyfriend did, and I just thought, I was like, I can't. See, I don't want to do obstacles. Like, I don't want to do different activities.
Yeah, it's hard enough to run.
Yeah. I kind of just want to run and just do one singular activity and just put one foot in front of the other. I can't fathom having to, because I don't have a lot of upper body strength, so I can't, and I don't want to get covered in mud. Sweat is already terrible. I don't need to be covered in mud. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to be dirty, so.
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel you. Plus, like, running, you can kind of take your mind off the fact that you're running. Yeah. Think about other things.
Yeah. I actually turned my music off for a while. I had my music off for the last hour. Because I turned it off at one point. I can't remember why. But then I just didn't turn it back on. And then I actually found the music to be more distracting once I tried to turn it back on. I said, you know what? I think it's actually better. So for a while, I couldn't understand how professional athletes run without music. But I kind of understand now.
Yeah.
It really makes you focus more.
I think, when I run, I like to listen to podcasts because if I'm thinking about running, it becomes harder. And sometimes that happens when I'm listening to music.
Yeah.
But when I'm thinking about podcasts and like being introspective, like that's when I run the best because I'm not thinking about it.
Maybe I should listen to a podcast when I run. That might be more enjoyable than music. I think to begin, I like music, but then I just found it to be more distracting than helpful. I felt like it was like clogging up my brain. I felt like I couldn't focus. So, that was my week. That was all I could think about. I was so nervous. And then earlier in the week, I'm just talking about it again. I started feeling some pain in my ankle and I was like, shit, I have to. So I couldn't run for most of the week because I didn't want to be in pain. I didn't want to be in pain during the actual half marathon. And thankfully I wasn't, but I was kind of nervous because I couldn't prepare. I couldn't do as much prep this week as I wanted to, but whatever. I was like, I also don't want to run.
Yeah.
But I'm running a half marathon Saturday, but I don't feel like running now.
13 miles in 1 week is more than enough. Yeah. You're forgiven.
It was a long check-in this week. I think we're going to go straight into our hot takes.
Lots to talk about.
Now, I don't know who wants to take us off. I feel like, Jen, you have holy hot takes written in your notes. So, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, like holy hot takes. I feel like so much has happened. All right, well, let's start with the bad news. Love is dead. John Mulaney and his short little Jewish wife, Anna Marie Tendler, are getting a divorce. Everyone is heartbroken. Everyone is shocked. It's horrible. And apparently, he's also dating Olivia Munn. What? Is anyone okay? I don't know what's going on with John.
It's none of my business, right? But it's also my business.
None of this is any of our business, but here we are.
I like Olivia Munn, just like in general. I think she seems like a nice girl, whatever. So this is not her fault. John Mulaney, I didn't think John Mulaney was a fuckboy. Do you know what I mean? I didn't think that he was like that, but I guess you never know people. I feel like it's pretty shitty to be divorcing your wife and then also have a new girlfriend in the same week.
Yeah.
No?
No, I mean, here's the thing. I super do not know the situation.
Yeah.
I do not know when their marriage started deteriorating. I do not know John Mulaney's sobriety situation. But from what I understand, I am not into it. I think it's a little risky to like enter a new relationship right after getting out of rehab as you're divorcing your wife, because there's a lot of emotions going on, a lot of change going on. I do like Olivia Munn. I don't know how I feel about her like starting this relationship with John Mulaney right now, so I'm a little like skeptical of her now too.
Right.
In general, like my understanding of Olivia Munn is that she would be a very supportive and kind partner while dealing with sobriety. So maybe she's good for him. But in general, it's just been very confusing what's going on with him. But like I said, we have no idea his situation and like what's actually going on in their lives.
Yeah, I mean, completely agreed. For those that don't know, like John Mulaney has struggled with addiction. I think he was sober for 15 years and then during the pandemic slipped back into some addiction, went to rehab, and is now divorcing his wife. I mean, here's the thing as well. Obviously, we just found out that him and his wife were getting a divorce. A lot of things must have happened before that we don't know about. So it's not like him and his wife broke up on Monday and he's dating Olivia Munn on Friday. Obviously, some of this stuff has been going on for a while. But yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. I feel weird about it. No shade to Olivia Munn. I'm just like, what's good? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it's weird to me. And one of the things I liked about John Mulaney is he's kind of normal and was dating a woman who was also normal. And now he's kind of dating a celebrity. And I guess he's a celebrity, but it's still weird.
Yeah. I think the thing is the whole divorce situation. And he's divorcing his wife. He's filing for divorce against his wife. I mean, he must have discussed about their marriage ending, right? But he's the one that's taking the steps to end the relationship for real. I think all of that just feels very much, at least from what we understand, to be his character and his personality, because the way he does his stand up and the way he talks about his wife and his life and his family, this feels like it's kind of very much going against the way he's portrayed himself and the way obviously John Mulaney is a very likable person. And I don't think that's even just like from like his comedy, we find it to be likable. He seems like a very like a regular guy, very like humble, whatever. So it is such a drastic shift from what we understand him to be like. Yeah, I think this in general leaves just like a bad taste in my mouth. So I have a hard time.
I agree
with it. I think.
I agree. Yeah. Out of character. Very odd. In addition, who's getting custody of Petunia?
I think his wife should. I think he doesn't deserve Petunia. Sorry.
Justice for Anna Marie Tendler. Okay. Yeah. And Petunia.
Yeah. I just look at it from a place of like someone who knows women who have been like wronged by men and like in like marriage, from like just things that have happened, not to me personally, but to family. I generally am like, I feel like I can sense it. You know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it, but I have experience. Yeah, I think so. So that's why I don't have a ton of sympathy for him getting Petunia.
Yeah. I think he has some explaining to do, and maybe he doesn't owe anyone an explanation. I can't wait for his tell-all interview. Like, yeah, I'm waiting for the material to come out in the stand-up. I'm very confused.
I just feel like he seems like not okay, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like, are you, like, do you want to go back to therapy? Like, how's it going?
It just seems like, a lot of changes going on in a very tumultuous time in his life.
Yeah. Like, I'm not even necessarily mad at him. I'm just concerned because I feel like something's not right.
Right.
You know? But yeah, his poor wife.
Love is dead, y'all. Love is dead. My love other hot take is, well, love is ? Bennifer 2.0?
Okay, also not here for this.
I think J-Lo needs to fucking relax. That's my opinion.
I don't care what J-Lo does. I feel like she's too good for Ben Affleck.
I also agree with that.
And that's the thing.
Ever since Ben Affleck got that fucking stupid Phoenix tattoo on his back. Sorry.
Ben Affleck is going through a rough time.
He's improved. He has improved. Let's be real. He went through some dark times. Ben Affleck has improved. But J-Lo is so far beyond Ben Affleck now that I'm like, I don't know, it just seems messy to get back with your ex from years ago.
I agree.
Right after you end your relationship with A-Rod. I don't know.
I know. And I was
again,
so here
don't
for...
know the situation. Don't know what's up, but just my opinion.
I mean, I was very here for J-Lo and A-Rod. Right. I just felt like they were very compatible. They're both hot. Like, it just made a lot of sense. And so, yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I saw somebody interviewed Matt Damon, who, for those that don't know, is like Ben Affleck's best friend. They like entered the movie industry together, yada, yada, yada. And someone asked Matt Damon about it. And he goes, there is not enough liquor in the world to get me to talk about this publicly.
Oh, my gosh.
So something's clearly going on. Might just be a rebound situation. Like,
that like makes it worse, Matt Damon.
Yeah. But like, you know, J-Lo, rebound if you need to.
I just think that you can't rebound with your ex-fiance. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I mean. Like, it's not a normal rebound.
And both of them have had, like, other relationships in between. Like, wasn't Ben Affleck married to Jennifer Gardner?
Oh, yeah. They had a kid together. Like, or multiple kids.
Yeah. And, like, J-Lo obviously has had multiple relationships, like, including a marriage in between. So this is, like, whatever. Like, it could just be a rebound. Could just be casual. Whatever.
I'm not trying to I sound very judgmental on this podcast with all these relationships, but
that's fine.
I'm not trying to sound too judgmental, but I just think that she just got out of a 5-year relationship and she was engaged, and that was just a couple of weeks ago, and now she's vacationing with her other ex-fiance. I just think it's too much too soon, and I think she has a pattern of entering these relationships, but it never works out, and I feel like she needs to just take time for herself, figure out what she wants. Do you know what I mean? I just think it's too much, too soon.
I agree. I think some people, I've come to learn in my adult life, some people need to, like, physically, like, move on with someone else to, like, you know, close the chapter on the person from before. Like, it's like they really can't move on unless it's more real and they, like, are with someone else physically. But I completely agree. Like, see a therapist, J-Lo. You, like,
how are you doing, J-Lo?
Yeah. I think also, again, sorry for the judgmentalness. She's been engaged, like, 4 times or something. Like,
I think J-Lo is, like, a serial monogamist. Do you know what I mean? Like, she always needs to be in a relationship.
You know, and J-Lo has just had a string of men that haven't worked out, and, you know, she's J-Lo. Like, she deserves. Right. But who is even at the caliber of J-Lo?
I don't know. Well, A-Rod.
It was A-Rod.
I love that, even, like, Latin power couple, but
I know.
And I loved their merged family. Yeah. Like, their kids were around the same age. I'm actually most concerned about the kids in the separation. Okay. I'm like, are you guys okay? Like,
yeah.
I think J-Lo's kids, are they okay? Because now she's back with her ex from before their father. It's like a whole thing.
I'm sure she tries to protect them from things as much as possible.
Yeah.
But
I mean, well, you never know how much how kids much these she might days, share. Yeah.
With their iPads and devices. Yeah, and they must devices. Know everything. They know info.
Yikes. Well, big question mark there. Don't know how we feel. Don't know if it's even a thing. In Love is Alive news.
Yeah.
Jason Tartick proposed to Caitlin Bristowe, and I am so happy.
Bada bing, bada boom.
We've been waiting for this. We've been waiting. The ring, it must be like a 50-pound rock on her finger. She's also so thin, and so I feel like that exacerbates like how big the ring is. But also, good job, Jason. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy. I love them. I love them so much. Because no one else can say anything.
I just want to thank the celebrities for really doing their work doing the most last week, because they provided good content for me to be shocked and appalled by.
Yeah. Well, so the other thing with Caitlin Bristowe and Jason Tartick was with the engagement, he did it while they were recording a podcast, so you can actually listen to him
proposing
her. Cute.
I was crying a little bit because he was crying, which is really precious. I just love them so much because
they're a great couple. They really
They really make a lot of sense together. And it's funny because they didn't meet on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. They didn't meet on Paradise. Like, they just met organically, like through, you know, Bachelor connections, obviously. And they just seem to make a lot of sense. And you know, Caitlin's relationship with her ex-fiance didn't work out. And at the time I was like, wow, she's moving on really quickly, but they really make sense as a couple and so cute. Love them.
I really like
them.
I don't even like follow her that much, but just from what I know of her, I really like her.
Yeah. She's very true to herself. She's like, I mean, Jason is too, like loud, exciting, but unapologetically herself, and they're great together. Here for it. Love it.
Wow.
Can't wait. And yeah, last hot take, RIP to the Ellen show. I mean,
the
it had its run, but also,
I mean, yeah, it
there's been a lot of problems
for a while.
Yeah, meh.
Yeah, very sad. I always liked Ellen back in the day, and I've been disappointed to uncover she's not as nice as we thought. Very disappointing.
Yeah. I think also being a little bit older and the way that the culture has shifted, like Ellen is very, and I think she does this like in a sarcastic, jokey way, but like with Taylor Swift, for example, like, oh, who are you dating now? And now you're kind of seeing that that was problematic, and she has done that with other celebrities, and that just rubbed people the wrong way sometimes.
Yeah.
And granted, that is part of like her humor as well. But yeah, just like a lot of stuff, if you don't know, like behind the scenes of the culture at the Ellen show being toxic, and it's for the best. You know, she's been on the air for a while too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she's made her money.
Yeah.
Her thing.
Yeah. Ellen will be fine.
Yeah. She'll be just fine. Yes. But yeah, those are my hot takes. Sorry. Lots of hot takes this week.
Oh,
yeah. Lots going on.
Like I said, thanks again to the celebrities for all of their dating drama. We love it.
We do.
Yeah.
We're here for it. Holy hot takes.
Well, Kira, what do you have for us?
So, wanted to talk about the Brits real quick. I don't know if anyone saw. Harry won Best Song. Watermelon Sugar is just such a hit. So proud.
It's a bop.
Wow.
Of our little Harry.
Congratulations.
Dua Lipa also won. I think Dua Lipa is getting a little overrated and totally copied a performance by somebody else, but that's my hot take.
I would agree.
I didn't see. I love Dua Lipa. Levitating?
I like her enough. Whatever.
I like her. I just feel like she's starting to get, like, it's getting a little overrated to me, I think. Like, I don't know that she has, like, I don't know. Getting on my nerves.
Okay. I gotta watch.
It's a hot take.
I gotta watch.
I know people love her. But what I really wanted to talk about is Little Mix. I love Little Mix. And I think it was like this week. It's just felt like a long week. But 2 out of 3 members of Little Mix are pregnant, which is crazy. But they looked so great on the red carpet, all wearing white, 2 of them with their little baby bumps.
Who is pregnant?
It's Leanne and Perry.
Oh, I didn't know she was pregnant. I didn't know Perry was pregnant. Wow, that's
just
exciting.
Just announced.
Wow.
Just announced.
I did see that.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Perry and Zane.
R.I.P. Right? It's been dead for
it's been
a while.
Years, but like Zane has a baby too now with Gigi Hadid, but like still.
Pretty crazy.
I can never wrap my head around that. The fact that they're together.
I don't think
that feels
either.
Like fake. You know what I mean?
Zane doesn't seem like a real person because you like never see him.
Yeah.
You know? I know.
You're like never sure what's up.
Anyways.
But Little Mix became the first women to ever, which is crazy, win Best Group at the Brits.
Oh, wow.
Which is just crazy because, like, they're like the Spice Girls were a thing. Like,
yeah.
There were great.
The Spice Girls.
Yeah, the Spice Girls. The reason, you know, you can have such great girl groups. I feel like Spice Girls really kind of paved the way. And their speech was so great because they discussed being women in pop music, but also Leanne and Jade touched on being women of color in pop music, and just the battles that they've had. And they've been together for
a while.
10 years now, I think.
11 years.
Yeah. So I just feel like they've done a good job growing and changing and having their music like reflect the age they are. And Leanne did a documentary. I haven't watched it yet because it was on the BBC and I have to figure out how to watch it. But she did a documentary about being a black woman in pop music. And I think that's great. I feel like they're so outspoken and really open. And obviously this year, Jessie left Little Mix and she left because of, you know, confidence issues and bullying that she gets for being the quote-unquote bigger member of Little Mix and whatnot. So they're definitely very outspoken about the things people say about women in music and whatnot. And I love them for that. So that's all.
Wow.
Love it. Congratulations to Little Mix on the babies and the Brit.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't follow them as closely as you do, Kira, but
yeah.
Agree they're a great group and glad that they're raising issues in the industry that women and women of color face.
Well, cool. The only thing I wanted to share was that Elon Musk hosted SNL, which I don't know if we talked about at all last week, about us being, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I will say I was pleasantly surprised and I was also really intrigued and I thought it was very brave of him to share that he has Asperger's, which I didn't know. And I think, I think that was a complete reveal to the world. And I feel bad now because I feel like people always talk about Elon Musk not being human. And I feel like he has this, like, this thing that he's dealing with that has to change how he behaves socially with other people. And I feel like it explains so much. And I feel kind of bad that we all prejudged him and we're like, oh, Elon Musk is going to announce that he's like an AI instead of a real human. Do you know what I mean? Like people always make those sort of jokes about him. And I think the Asperger's might explain maybe the way he portrays himself because he's trying to, I don't want to say suppress, but yeah, he's trying to... He's, like, probably constantly, like, trying to, like, correct or kind of, like, deviate from, like, any behavioral, like, things that he may have. So I was pleasantly surprised. I thought that he did pretty well in the sketches that I watched. And, I thought he did well. So good job, Elon Musk. Yeah. And his mom was there. I thought that was nice. I always forget that he's South African. I always forget. Mm-hmm. I can't remember that he's South African. It always surprises me every time I read that. I'm like, wow, he's from South Africa.
Yeah. No, I actually didn't realize that he revealed he has Asperger's.
Yeah.
It explains a lot, I think.
It does.
And, yeah, to your point, Jackie, like, makes you kind of feel bad about the jokes and how he can sometimes be a controversial figure. But it makes sense and... You know, people with Asperger's struggle with social interactions and that, you know, they do have to think about things in the way that it makes sense to them. I was recently having a conversation with one of my friends who has a sibling with special needs, and the way that he explained it was in the same way that maybe we learn a foreign language and then we have to translate it back to English and then translate it back to, you know, and that's essentially how people who are on the autism spectrum, people with Asperger's, et cetera, like go about interacting socially. So I think it explains a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely his controversial opinions are still those controversial opinions, and he said what he said, and that, you know, but in terms of, yeah, people making fun of him for the way he might talk or the way he might interact around people, it makes you maybe second guess before, like, making those kinds of jokes. And it's like, you know, maybe there's something else going on, so...
I was like,
that's a good life lesson. Thank you, Elon
Good
Musk.
Reminder.
He was just an interesting host choice.
Yes, I agree.
Just
a little, because, like, he's not an entertainer.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But I kind of like when they do that.
They're going to run out of celebrities at some point, so they got to mix it up.
They got to branch out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not my favorite, but I, you know, obviously there's going to be something up with him if he's that much of a genius. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, his wildness never, like, just struck me as, like, well, it's because he's a genius.
Yeah.
I have another hot take to add, actually, that just reminded me. Have you guys heard about Chrissy Teigen?
What happened with
Chrissy Teigen?
What happened?
I'm done with Chrissy Teigen, basically. It came out that she sent tweets to some other... I'm not even sure what to call them. They're kind of celebrities, like the cast of Teen Mom level celebrities kind of thing.
Like reality, like a D-list.
Yeah, like Courtney Stodden and stuff like this back in like 2012, 2013, 2014, like years ago. But it came out that her DMs to them or tweets to them were all about like telling them to kill themselves or that she hopes they die. Pretty dark stuff.
Oh my God.
It's the first, like, and she basically apologized in a way where she was like, it's really hard to confront your mistakes publicly, which I totally sympathize with. Like, we all make mistakes, and it's hard to do that on the scale of everybody's attention and opinion. But I, as far as I can remember, I don't think I've ever told somebody to go kill themselves or that I hope they die. So I think that that's pretty another level, and I'm not into Chrissy Teigen at the moment.
Also, Chrissy Teigen had her first child like 5 or 6 years ago, and so the claim that it was like in 2014 and I'm a, like, she
right,
was
not
she's
that
been
long
an adult
ago.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, she was becoming a mom 5 or 6 years ago, and so she was already an adult, a grown woman. I mean,
that was not okay back then either.
It wasn't
I'm just saying, people might be like,
it wasn't
okay
any time.
But it doesn't matter.
But you know how people are like, that's how
I was stupid.
Back then.
Yeah.
Like, that was not okay in 2014.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, it was just very odd, and it had me thinking about Alison Roman, not going to lie. Like, Alison Roman making the comment about Chrissy Teigen and how, you know, she would never have done a Target line or something, and how Chrissy Teigen was upset about that. And I'm like, what Alison Roman said in comparison to you telling people to go kill themselves is so odd. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I always liked Chrissy Teigen, just like very surface level. But I did always think that she was too much online. I always felt like she said that she deleted Twitter because it was like too much. But I also, to an extent, she created the too much world.
Agreed.
That she was living in. Do you know what
she,
I mean? It was
tweets a lot,
spends too much time online, and it doesn't usually end well. And so she deleted her Twitter, which I think was appropriate, but I think she also put herself into a situation where, like, yeah, no wonder your fucking DMs and your notifications were going crazy and you always had to fight with someone on Twitter because it's too much. I think she needed to step back and, like, so this is not that surprising if she's done something shitty like this. I always thought it was too much.
It's just the level of the comment that is too much. Like, obviously
you
get caught up and say mean things, but the level is too far, in my opinion. So I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, that is.
I am too.
Anyway. That just came to me thinking about Elon Musk. I don't know how it came up, but I was
he's on Twitter.
BTW. People have taken it too far.
Yes. Agreed.
Well, I think we're at that point in the program where it's time for any retakes, if anyone has some this week. I think Kira's got a juicy one for us.
Collective retake.
So I didn't totally, I feel like maybe I did know this, but I didn't remember. I don't know. I kind of forgot that Bill Gates was wrapped up in that Jeffrey Epstein drama.
I think that came out after we recorded, so.
Yeah.
No,
I think we knew it, but so it was known in 2019. You know what I'm saying?
Or I didn't know about it. Or yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, like the main people that we were focusing on were like Bill Gates and Prince Andrew. Bill Clinton and Prince Andrew.
And Trump.
And Trump, right. So those were like the main focus. And granted, it's kind of hard for me to like believe Bill Gates is out there molesting 14-year-old girls. But like just any sort of involvement with Jeffrey Epstein seems sketchy, like even business wise, he just seems like a sketchy person, or seemed. And apparently, that was the start of Melinda seeking a divorce lawyer. So now I super understand. I support you, girl, and get all that money. And adios, Bill.
You also, I mean, in addition to Jeffrey Epstein obviously molesting hundreds of girls and, you know, very powerful men being involved in that, let's not forget that Jeffrey Epstein was likely murdered in jail, and these people like Bill Gates probably had something to do with it. You know, why was he mysteriously dead when he should have been under lock?
Yeah, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that is one conspiracy theory that, like, it's probably true.
It is too convenient for him to have died, and he was under intense watch. And think about all the powerful men that were involved with him.
Yeah.
I don't
know who commanded the kill, but something
could have
happened.
Been a coordinated effort.
Could have been.
I'm just saying.
One Bill was at least involved with that. I don't know which Bill, but some Bill.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little hard to overlook being involved with a serial child molester.
Yeah.
So get that money, honey.
Yeah. Get that money, honey.
Well, good for Melinda Gates.
Messy.
The celebrities are at it again.
The theme of this podcast is we're always on the woman's side when she's wronged in a divorce. Yep. Always. So.
Always. Hundo P.
Obviously.
Duh. Oh, what do you think this is? This is her take, Jen.
Men are such a scam. Ugh. Don't get involved.
Well, on that note, I thank you all for joining us for another episode. It was great talking to you both. As always, we are around and available and always on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow us at Her Take Podcast on Instagram and Her Take Pod on Twitter. And we will see you or talk to you again next week. So have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for listening.
Get vaccinated. Stay safe.
Ciao.